Well, hello. Welcome to Fiercely Altered Perspective. I'm Ember.
Oh, so we're actually starting this. Hi, yeah. I'm Quinn.
Yeah, might as well. We'll just roll with it.
Hey, welcome back.
Yes. Sorry we were absent last week. Life gets crazy.
Yeah, sometimes work sucks.
Yeah. But hey, it's totally fine. We're here now.
Yeah.
We had a great time on our mini adventure that we got to have.
Oh, yeah. But we learned a very, very valid lesson.
Yes.
While we were on it.
What was that?
Pay attention to details.
Yeah.
We had this image in our mind. We were going to go into a sensory deprivation tank or a float tank or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother started calling around, and make a really long story short. Love you, Elliot. But we got set up for an hour in a float tank.
Yeah, it was a float tank of sorts.
something. We'll just say this. I got brutalized by a 60-some-odd-year-old Chinaman. That literally made me moan and groan
in pain and
agony. And it took a good solid 2 days for me to feel better afterwards. That's how deep of a massage
we
ended up getting because, the only float part of that whole deal is they put our feet in warm water.
Right. So we walk in and, okay, so on the way there, it's Quinn, his brother Elliot, and I, and we are driving into...
We're driving into the ghetto.
Yeah.
Like, legit, no bullshit, we're driving into the ghetto.
Yeah. And we walk in, but as we're driving, they were joking around about if it's all in separate rooms, if we're all going to be in one float tank. And I was like, no. It's separate.
Right.
And we get there, and this little beautiful woman walks us back, and it's three beds. And we're like, but wait.
Right.
And we asked about the float tank, and she's like, no, we'll float your feet. We're like, oh, okay. Well, Quinn and I are also massage virgins.
Were.
And our first one was a deep tissue. And I will say, mixed feels about it. I'm covered in bruises.
This dude was massaging up around my shoulders and collarbone and pushed hard enough, I'm pretty sure a finger poked out of my butthole.
Oh my God. He went there.
I did. Love it. This dude, like, okay, make a really, really long story short. I had a knot about the size of a Johnsonville brat, I guess is the best way to say it. Most people will know what a Johnsonville brat is, or some sort of sausage, a hot dog, something, whatever. I had a knot about that size in my left hamstring. And dude was like, rub. And he was rubbing along the sides of it. And each time I was like, oh God.
There it is.
Oh God. Oh God. And he's like, And he taps me on the shoulder and he goes, breathe. And I'm trying to, sir. And he went from rubbing on the sides of it to rotating his hands 90 degrees. He grabbed that sausage and squoze it.
Uh-huh.
And I felt it go...
Oh, yeah.
And it was like hot liquid running down the inside of my leg. There almost was hot liquid running down the outside of my leg as well.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And of course, I love you, Elliot. My asshole brother is sitting there giggling and laughing at me. And so he starts giggling and laughing. Dude's like, this doesn't hurt you? Like, and puts the old fucking feng shui down on him and, well,
yeah.
I love you, Elliot.
Oh, man. There were times when my lady would grab my foot and my hand would go numb.
Oh.
I was like, oh my gosh, I have to trust her. She's going to be able to kill me if she needs to.
Oh.
And it's crazy, but it was...
Dude strummed the inside, like the middle innermost workings of my armpit like a guitar, and I shot electrical sparks out of my my fingertips.
Right. How did... just magic. But I was fine with the face. I was fine with the hands. She popped all of my knuckles and she barely touched me. It was just, oh, fantastic.
Right.
And then when she got to my calves, I decided I didn't like the massage anymore and I wanted to go home. So I spent the rest of the time counting the minutes in my head with my eyes closed. I just watched the second hand just click. And when it was done, Quinn and Elliot were like, oh man, we got extra time on our massage, yeah. Which was very nice of them. Very wonderful. But they were like, it didn't even feel like it was that long. I felt all of it. However, it was amazing to hear my muscles pop and then my spine naturally pop back into place.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Amazing. Would not recommend a deep tissue massage if you've never had one before.
Right.
I would recommend something nice, especially if you have a problem with strangers touching you, like I do. It was a crash course. We spent the rest of our time relaxing and not doing anything but drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
So much lactic acid.
Oh my God. Well, Amber and I stopped all one time on our way over to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped like six times on our way home from Denver. That's never how much happens. Water we drank.
Which never happens.
Never.
So yes, that was wonderful.
It was a really good break. It was a really good vacation. Don't get us wrong.
We got to watch.
Oh my God.
Our niece graduate.
Absolute kick ass.
Then today we got to watch my sister graduate and yes. My cousin graduate.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was crazy.
Good times.
It was crazy. But
good times.
Yes. Unfortunately, in the middle of all of that, we were interrupted with adulthood and we were not able to record our episode.
Right.
But we are here now.
Ta-da. Turder. Just like herpes, we're back.
Yes. Yes. And this episode is a bunch of just weird random bullshit that's gonna be spewing out of our mouths.
Right. It's oddities.
Yeah. Weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hey, before we get into the old oddities things, mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. You know those Studio Sweden trays I've been telling you guys about?
Yes.
I still love them.
Yeah.
I still love them a lot. I will say this. 9 hours, 27 minutes.
Nice.
And it was just like, I got it. I'm done. Okay, cool. And yeah. That's honestly how I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I want full audio. I want full everything to go with it. And then when it says I'm tapping,
mm-hmm.
It's done.
Nice.
So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And the sound quality from minute one till 9 hours and 27 minutes later, phenomenal.
Nice.
Phenomenal. So
phenomenal. Dun, 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 dun.
Phenomenal. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my gosh. We're that people.
We are.
Love it. But we need to now time how long it takes for them to charge.
It was like, well, I honestly don't really know because I didn't pay that much of attention. I plugged them in while cruising down the highway and they were just like, and I'm ready.
Yeah.
So
I know it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
I said that, or I think it said on there that it took under 120 minutes.
Oh yeah. It wasn't.
For a full charge from you know, yeah, all right. The way.
But so. Comfortable, amazing sound quality. Holy crap. Get yourself a pair.
Yeah.
And how do you get yourself a pair? You go to studio.com,
mm-hmm.
Find whichever style you'd like when checking out in all caps, the FAP pod, get you 15% off. Price is right. Like I've said, I'm still sitting here. I've got the, what are these ones?
Regents.
Regents. Thank you. I've got the Regents on my head right now, and I'm literally looking up at a twice the price set of Beats and a more than twice the price set of Marleys. That I'm not bashing Beats. I'm not bashing Marleys.
No, they're great. Headphones. They're
wonderful headphones. They have both put on, oh my God, more miles than I could shake a stick at. But these Regents, the quality... Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So check them out. Hit them up. Get you some 15% off. And
our 15% off may also just be FAP Pod. It's in the show notes. I think it's just FatPod.
Fair enough.
But yeah, we'll get our shit together.
Okay. Okay.
They're great headphones. They really are. I love them.
Yes.
And they're fancy and I...
They look good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like them. They're very good headphones.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, before we actually dive into this odd shit, speaking of odd shit, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the FatPod. Also on Facebook, go to the Fap Lounge. Yes. That's where the odd shit happens.
That's where all the odd shit happens. Over there, you'll also you'll see Vin. And if you don't know who Vin is, he also has a podcast, Foodie, Boozy, Swearies, something, something, something. It's a huge mouthful. And yeah, he's awesome.
He's gangster as fuck.
He's hilarious. You will love him. Anyways, be sure to check us out. We will be more active now, hopefully.
Hope so.
Hopefully, if adulthood allows.
Yes.
And you can come hang out with us over on Patreon.
Yeah.
If you would enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're always about that. We'll be sending out more stickers to all of our newbies. Thank you all who have joined recently. We greatly appreciate it.
Right.
Our Just Killin' Time box should be showing up soon.
Yeah, yeah. Just Killin' Time. Yeah. Trust me.
JustKillinTime.org.
It's the bee's knees.
If you like true crime, we get these badass true crime magazines, shirts, artwork. Oh, just all things awesome.
Yeah, all kinds of different things. It's good business.
It really is. All right, I think that's all of our business.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah, it was kind of a little long intro into this.
Right. That said, go look up Sugar Glider. Look up Sugar Glider. Sugar Glider on Twitter, on Facebook. Buddy of mine's daughter.
Yes.
Fired
so
up
exciting.
Her very own comic. Amazing.
And they also found out that right now she's the youngest author.
That's fantastic.
Right. Youngest author and a female. And we know her. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Bragging rights.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You should buy her comic.
You should.
Because it's cool.
And they're cool.
And they are cool.
They're damn
and
good.
And the
people.
Comic's like all about not being an asshole.
Right.
It's anti-bully. It's cool.
Oh, hell.
Yes. Yes. Anyways.
Perfect.
All right. So oddities.
Let's get odd.
They're just random things that we found that we didn't have enough to put in its own episode. And it's going to be hopefully full of, I don't know, weird quinisms and funny ha-has. Just like lighthearted, taking a little break. Because sometimes when life is chaotic, the last thing you want to do is sit and talk about super, super heavy stuff. So.
Right.
That's what today is. So the first one is the skull of Edward Mordrake from 1890. And some people may have seen the picture. It's circulated throughout all of the internet and it kind of looks like an old legit Lord Voldemort, Harry Potter type thing. It is a dude with two faces. So the story goes that a man named Edward Mordrake, or sometimes called Mordake, just depending on which story you click on, okay, was a noble Englishman who was also a scholar and a musician. However, he lived a solitary life with a terrible deformity. Much like in Harry Potter, Edward had a second face on the back of his head. The second face could laugh, cry, and make strange noises. It was also known to be a little sinister, smiling if Edward was crying, and the quote, demon face, as he would call it, would whisper things to him in his sleep.
Okay.
As the story goes, Edward Mordrake begged to have the devil twin removed, and when no one would heed his call, he committed suicide at age 23. The methods of his suicide vary. It was either due to poison or a bullet fired between the eyes of his demon, meaning that it would have gone through his
him
forehead.
As well, right.
Right. Edward also left instructions that it needed to be destroyed before his burial. All all of the photos people see online are wax replicas of what he could have looked like. No one knows where the remains of Edward are located, and we do not know his birthday or his death date. But is such a condition real? Could that happen?
Right. We know of many different birth defects, including twins who were never separated, which is what most believe to be the case for Edward and his, quote, demon twin.
Right.
Could it be an extreme case of Siamese twins that never separated? Don't know.
Well, I mean, that'd be crazy.
It could be. Ugh. Or it could be a, quote, parasitic twin.
Right.
So, well, throughout history, there have been countless cases of Siamese twins. And in 2008, there was a girl born in India who was born with two faces, but she only lived 6 weeks. Edward's condition is plausible, made even more so when it was found in a book published in 1896. Two doctors, Dr. George M. Gould and Walter L. Pyle, wrote a book.
Private Pyle. Sorry. I can't help it every time.
No, I'm with it. I appreciate it. They wrote a book called Anomalies and Curiosities of Medicine, and it was filled with bizarre medical conditions and birth defects, including the story of Edward Mordrake.
Hmm.
In this article, it did say that the, quote, demon face was actually a woman. That's why it's a demon.
You didn't.
Oh, I did.
Oh, I'm smothering him with a pillow later. It's fine, everybody. It's fine.
I make the jokes. Ha ha. Funny, funny.
It's a just cool kidding. Skin. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Maybe. No, still just kidding.
I can't even be mad because I know. And that's funny. Okay.
But it was actually a woman, but the rest of the story remains the same. However, some speculation would be brought up when the doctors could not provide any sources.
Hmm.
They said they didn't create the story, only found it. And that at most they could say is that it came from a lay source. While the condition could be real, it would have been extremely rare, and the mortality rate is excessively high.
Right. We don't usually hear about, you would think if somebody had two faces,
mm-hmm.
we would know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure. Well, and not to say that it couldn't have, that it couldn't have happened or that it hasn't happened.
Right.
But it's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
But many believe that it was unlikely someone with that kind of medical condition could have lived to the age of 23. So the search for the truth continued.
Right, because that would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, with digging for the truth, people uncovered an article by fiction writer Charles Lowton Hildreth to the Boston Post in 1985, followed by various other papers followed his first publication. The story of Edward Mordrake was word for word the same as a publication by the doctors, but the story came out a full year before the Anomalies book was published. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
There were small differences, like the sex of the second face, which, looking into the medical side of it, it would have been unlikely the face would have been female, and it would have been almost impossible to judge based on just the sex of the face. Like,
I don't believe when she keeps saying sex of the face, I don't believe she's saying or meaning to call this person a fuck face.
Well,
but maybe.
If it's whispering bad things to you at night, it's kind of a fuck face. So, I mean,
or is it like the whole Borat thing? Oh, you make this sexy face.
Oh, sex face. I like your sex face. Very nice.
Very nice.
Gross. Okay. Anyways, you're not going to know if it was male or female if there wasn't anything else. Okay. Goodness. Charles Hildreth claimed to find these stories through a Royal Scientific Society, so many naturally ate it up. He also wrote about other, quote, freaks, like women whose legs had scales like a fish, a crab boy, and a man who had the body like a spider. That would be terrifying. Burn it. With news of the Royal Scientific Society being involved with this case, people looked through countless articles from a place known as the Royal Society of London and found nothing of Edward, a demon face, or anything even closely resembling the Charles Hildreth story, or the story from the two doctors. So many speculate Charlie's story was the lay source the doctors said they received their information from. And so they weren't able to ever find anything called a Royal Scientific Society back in that era. So they thought maybe that was just a like mishap and they meant the Royal Society of London. So they looked through that and they were like, this story, I don't find it anywhere.
Huh.
So,
all right.
We still don't know.
Huh. So who is Charles Hildreth? Come to find out, he was a fiction writer and a poet. He submitted his story to the newspaper under false pretenses of it being non-fiction, not something uncommon for the time. Wasn't until the 20th century when the newspaper put a specific spot out for fiction writers. Other authors of the same period did the same thing, most notably, quote the Raven, Nevermore.
My homie.
Mr. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
Right. The tale of Edward Mordrake, the nobleman with the demon face, was just a hoax. This story isn't real, and there isn't any known story of the demon face type deformity that ever lived very long. Except...
So, the story of Edward Mordrake may have been bullshit. Just a fake story, and it goes to show how quickly one could spin it and make things sound true, but they're really not. However, there is a condition known as deposperous, I think is how you say it.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
We're gonna make it sound like it. And it replicates certain parts. That's not
a dinosaur either, just saying.
It does sound like a dinosaur. I thought the same thing. That's why I love you so much. I want to make a dinosaur now. Okay. And it replicates certain parts on the head.
How do you make a dinosaur?
I want to make a shirt that is this condition, but it looks like a dinosaur.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really messed up. Okay. Because, yeah. Okay. It is an extremely rare and dangerous disorder, but it has been found in almost all walks of life. One story in particular came from a famous medical case in the 70s and 80s in China. Cheng
Zuping.
Thank you. Was born with a second face on this lower part of his cheek, jaw area. There was a mouth, a few teeth, a patch of scalp, a black mass, a deformed tongue, and even a throat.
Mm-hmm.
When Chang would open his mouth, the other face would open its mouth as well. He wanted the extra face removed, and the whole process was very well documented. You can find it.
Uh-huh.
This is the real story of the man that has two faces.
Just 100 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cheng's condition was known as fetus in fetu?
In fetu.
In fetu?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Meaning...
Oh, wow.
I'm going to read this exactly as my bride typed it. Jesus, you sound like the principal of UNA High. Meaning he were a twin and the fetus of his twin developed inside of Chang while they were both growing in the womb.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. I burned
every ounce of that. The only thing I can think of is I was very distracted when I was writing that.
He were a twin, huh? Well, goddamn, wife, we ain't cousins. Why are we married?
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
I apologize for nothing. That was great. Did it on purpose.
Uncle yep. Daddy says I can keep this kitty. Wait, what?
My dunkle says I give the best blowjobs in town.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Well, anyways,
can we try that sentence again?
No, we're not going to try that sentence again.
I Can we do that in an instant replay?
We can.
Okay.
I'll read it verbatim again.
No.
Chang's condition was known as fetus in fetu, meaning he were a twin and the fetus of his twin developed inside of Chang while they were both growing in the womb.
Okay, stop.
No. Doctors speculated that what grew into the black mass on Chang's face was actually the spot where his twin's brain would have been.
Gross.
This ends our first oddities.
Yeah. We'll have to post links on our pages too, because you can pull it up and see, and it is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy had an extra mouth and an extra throat, and I have questions.
And he were a twin.
And he were a twin. What's up? I try.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah. I love you and you're pretty.
Oh, man. Nope. Okay. So now we're going to talk about medicines, and we're going to shift all of the focus off of me and onto doctors back in the day who didn't know shit about shit and basically just prescribed ways to kill people all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to see how good your English is on this one.
Die in a fire, please.
I sleep next to you. I pretty much do every night.
Ooh, well played. God damn.
Jenga, bitch.
Jenga, bitch. The price is wrong, bitch. All right.
So, weird medicines.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, medical advances in the last 80 years have been amazing.
Right.
Medical advances in the last 30 years have been astonishing. Medical advances in the last 10 years have been unbelievable.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
Prior to the last 80 years, sadly, it was like...
It was like somebody like me who also says he were a twin.
He were a twin.
And you may have some gout, and I'll tell you, you need to just chop off your whole leg.
Right. At the hip.
At the hip.
At the hip.
No medicine to knock you out.
Sadly, that's not far from the truth, though.
And then I'm gonna give you a bunch of booze when you go home. Yeah. Why? Because I care.
Because I care. Have some of the old grandpa's cough syrup.
Also, let's talk about anybody who is a parent knows how hard it is sometimes to get your child to go to bed when you would like them to go to bed.
Sure.
If you've never had the pleasure of listening to the book Go the Fuck to Sleep,
narrated by Samuel L. Jackson,
I highly suggest YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you're done here, pop on over.
Right. Now, I am going to throw in a slight asterisk here. The slight asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
The Erica Green case.
Oh, yes.
We've talked about how it's our responsibility as adults and as parents to teach our children. And in the process of teaching our children, we are also learning at the same time.
Correct.
So now take this into consideration that this is not much more than 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Medicines.
Lots of things have changed in 100 years.
Right.
But this isn't very much more than 100 years ago. And some of this isn't even 100 years ago.
Yeah. This is just like really feeding off certain people's perspective during a period of history.
Yeah.
Really, that's all that it is. Because kind of like a other funny video called Nap Time Spray, this stuff was called soothing syrup.
Soothing syrup.
And it was made for children when they were upset. Now, this wasn't just for making a child go to sleep when you want them to or anything like that. We're talking gassy babies, teething babies, just bratty kids. Anything.
Uh-huh.
Really? Any excuse. Any excuse. Because this wonderful syrup, hold on, speaking of children, we're going to take a quick little break. All right, back from our little mini break.
Yep, sorry about that.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so the soothing syrup would make children extremely chill. The syrup consisted of morphine, chloroform, codeine, heroin, and cannabis.
So basically, if you really want to get down to it, it consisted of heroin, chloroform, heroin, heroin, and marijuana.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine giving any of our children any one of of those medicines. No, yep, nope, can't see one on there.
Now, if it's medicinal cannabis,
yes,
whatever,
right?
But yeah,
I have a feeling that they didn't know what they were doing.
No.
So one teaspoon had enough morphine to kill the average child. All right, just one teaspoon. And children over a year were prescribed one teaspoon up to four times a day. Oh my god. So terrible twos came from not just attitude, but 2-year-olds have lots of aches and pains and whines and whatevers, you know. That's,
yeah,
they are starting to get their bigger baby teeth, they're going through growth spurts,
right?
They're getting that attitude, so
they're coming into their own. Sure.
Right. They also called it terrible twos because they would be given this soothing syrup and overdose.
Right.
And die. So there was lots of 2-year-old deaths during this time period.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I keep getting distracted. The cat is demanding loves.
Oh yeah.
Demanding, like he's disgusting. Okay.
So you'll probably hear his little kitty motor going because it's picking up on my headphones.
Is it?
Really well.
Oh good.
But this is what I will say. Literally, this cat that is on my lap right now, he goes by Scooby. Black as a struck match. I literally gave this cat his first breath.
Yes.
And he's 14 years old.
Yeah, he's old.
So he's been around a minute. He very much is, and this is what's funny, I'm not very much a cat person. This is my cat.
Mm-hmm. I think he's older than 14.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he would have to be.
God damn. Yeah, he's... Jesus.
He's old kitty meow.
He's 16 or 17.
Yeah. But some days he still acts like he's a kitten.
Oh, yeah. he's a spoiled, rotten son of a gun. Maybe he needs some soothing syrup someday.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Sam. But anyways, sorry. I'll try not to get distracted by an adorable cat.
Right.
So most often these little kids would get nosebleeds or they would just have a seizure, or sometimes they would just go to sleep and never wake back up.
Oh, good.
Yeah. One of the most popular brands was Mrs. Winslow's soothing syrup, created by Mrs. Winslow herself and first hit the market by her son-in-law, Jeremiah Curtis, and Benjamin A. Perkins. By 1911, the soothing syrup was known as the baby killer, but despite that, they continued to sell the syrup in the UK until the 1930s.
Oh.
Morphine, chloroform, codeine, heroin, and cannabis.
Oh. All things great for your 2-year-old, you know.
Shit. That's a lot of things to be mixing together.
Right.
And putting into your body at one. No.
Okay.
So, now.
Yeah. No soothing syrup.
No.
No, but this next one has to do with Mad Hatters. So, I'm sure that majority, if not all, have seen Alice in Wonderland.
Of course.
This might explain Mad Hatters if you don't understand what Mad Hatters is.
Mm-hmm. And ooh, piece of candy. We'll talk about Alice in Wonderland later.
Oh, as a matter of fact, we sure will.
No shit.
But to my knowledge, and my bride will correct my dumbass redneck thought processes if I screw this up. But
I will. He were a twin.
He were a twin. By God,
you're on your own.
Right, but Mad Hatters is linked to or caused by mercury poisoning.
Right, right.
You know, mercury in the old school thermometers, none of this new electronic rub it on your forehead, ta-da, this is what it is, but the ones that either went in your mouth or up your bum,
mm-hmm.
had a little shiny silver stuff that went running up it, and the higher the temperature got, yeah.
Oh, I used to play with that.
Oh, yeah.
One time I think it was the red thermometer broke. That's okay. Nobody liked the red thermometer. The blue one is safe. The blue one goes for your mouth. The red one goes in your bum. But the red one fell off our fridge and broke. And
That's a shitty fridge.
Right? There was mercury all over the floor and I couldn't clean it. And I was panicking. But then I kept trying to pick it up. And because it was just moving around, then I was like, boop, 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 boop. And I played with it for I don't know how long.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's why I'm weird.
No.
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 I want to blame it on the mercury.
Okay.
So when it came to making hats, they they use mercury and stuff quite a bit, because mercury was used for everything back in the day.
Right.
Because they didn't...
had no idea what they were messing with.
They didn't think that it was bad for us.
Right.
Yes.
Well, with that, the ancient Chinese thought that mercury was a secret to a long life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was also the cause of multiple deaths of the emperors.
Right. So you would think that after, I don't know, a couple of them die sooner because they are either consuming, they're just getting way too friendly with the mercury.
Oh, hey, guess what though?
What?
It still happens every day.
Oh, it does. It does.
So here's something to make your old balloon not pucker a pinch. You like makeup, you like being pretty, you like doing all that fun stuff.
Bleaching agents.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, you need a bleached O-ring? Just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Mercury is still used in bleaching agents in dermatology. Jesus, English.
It's used in dermatology and cosmetics.
That one.
We'll just...
yeah, it's lotions, creams, ointments, all kinds of other stuff. Yeah, yeah. Mercury is still used to this day all the time to make you look pretty.
I actually read a story that talked about a little old lady who was starting to get super, super just sick all the time and felt really down and really out and really weird. And she had been using this brand of cream for her liver spots on her hands, and she was trying to bleach them. Once the doctor made her stop using that lotion, it took a while, but she started to actually feel better.
Yeah.
All of her neurological stuff was corrected, and yeah. So mercury can make you a little,
sick. Make you a little loopy.
Gives you the cancer.
Yeah.
Which now I think I'm pretty sure everything will give you the cancers. So, do you want to start this one?
Sure.
Start this one.
Sure.
Because we're still talking about mercury.
Yep, still mercury. Thomas P., quote, Boston Corbett.
Oh, yes.
If you don't know the name, never fear, you will before too long. We're going to cover this and explain to all of you out there in Faplandistan who Thomas P. Boston Corbett is. However, here's the short side of it.
Yes.
He was the man who killed John Wilkes Booth, who killed Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, and if you don't know that, you need slap for not paying attention in history. Or we will teach you history if you are not from around here.
Yeah, here's some odd shit history coming your way.
Right, we're telling the history of, way in reverse.
Right. Compliments of us.
Of us. You're welcome.
Welcome. So before he ever joined the military and killed Booth, earning himself the nickname Lincoln's Avenger,
that
he had
the coolest nickname.
Huh?
That's the coolest nickname.
Right. He had a batshit story.
Oh my gosh, this guy is Looney Tunes and I love him.
Like, certifiable. So the most important part to tie into today's episode is that he was a hatter and more than likely suffered from mercury poisoning. What led many to believe that he was suffering the side effects from handling mercury is that he castrated himself one night.
He did.
He what? Cut off the twiggenberries.
Oh my god.
He gave himself a lopetophomy.
He did. He did.
Became super religious, one night he ran into a couple of prostitutes. He was so repulsed that he went home and never wanted to worry about sins of the flesh, so he took his shears used to make hats and lopped it off.
He chopped off his dick because he couldn't handle seeing a woman. He couldn't take it.
He gave himself a lopetophomy.
Ow.
But.
Dude.
No. Wait just a second.
Yeah.
He lopped it off. Then he ate his dinner. Then he went to prayer meeting. Then he went to the hospital for care.
You know, I'm pretty sure if I cut off a part of my body, the last thing I'm going to do is eat. And I'm sure as fuck, not gonna go anywhere and go pray about it.
Right. Well, and like, I could be wrong by saying this, but I'm pretty sure I have a general understanding of how anatomy works.
Mm-hmm.
And blood flow makes the parts work.
Yeah.
So that means that there is a...
You're losing a lot.
Major vessel and vein.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to have in and out, yeah?
Uh-huh.
So you've got a... basically, you have a blood interstate running to your sex organ.
Yep, pretty much.
And you lop it off. Clock's ticking, homie.
Yeah.
Like, TikTok.
Unless he did
TikTok.
Some gangster shit.
You just lopped off your cock.
What? That is why I love you. Yeah.
But, yeah. So he did that, and then it would be 8 years later.
8 years later is when he
took care of Booth.
Booth. And that has its own story.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a story as to why he became so crazy religious. And he is just, it was one of those. We fell down that rabbit hole, stumbled upon this.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to figure out some more fun stories about mercury poisoning or mad hatters, and then this guy will be cool. He'll be cool.
All right,
jumping back into medicines and stuff of the old, you know, bear aspirin?
Yeah.
That stuff that they always tell you if you're having a heart attack to take two of?
Uh-huh.
Well, they were also the ones who developed heroin. So we can have them to thank for that.
Well, thanks, bear.
Thank you for our heroin. There's many people who appreciate it.
Huh? Yeah.
It was put on the market in 1898 as a cough suppressant. So, yeah. Here's the fun thing. They actually found out that heroin was safer, okay? Safer. Heroin is safer than morphine and codeine.
Which is funny to me because in both morphine and codeine, that is just synthetic heroin.
Yeah.
Safer,
cheaper.
Okay.
Easier. I don't know. I'm not a drug lord and I'm not a smart person. So, anyways, however, with its obvious side effects that aren't as pleasing, apparently, they pulled the bear heroin off the shelves by 1913 and they banned it in the U.S. by 1924.
Hmm.
That's not that long.
Bear-o-win.
And the bear-o-win.
The bear-o-win.
I love me some bear-o-win. Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they tried. They were trying to do it for the greater good, maybe.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Damn it.
And this goes back to medical anomalies, oddities, weird things.
Yeah.
Not knowing what the fuck you're doing, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, think about the things that we started prescribing or that we prescribe now. Like, in however many years, somebody's going to look back on it. They're going to be like, they took that?
Oh, yeah.
They were doing what?
Uh-huh.
It will be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different name.
Right. Well, back in the day, they had liquid cocaine toothache drops.
Yeah. It will numb.
Oh, yes. Yes, it will.
Yeah, it will numb your tooth. You won't feel it.
Yeah. I've never had cocaine toothache drops, but I was not always a good kid, and I did do some coke.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this, if you did a number... Guess what? Yep. It'll make your gums go numb real quick.
A number. Put it in your gums?
Snort your big old line what's left over. Lick your finger. Wipe it up. Rub it on your gums. Gums go numb immediately.
Oh, see? The more you know.
Yep, but yeah, so...
Also, they used to put it in your Coca-Cola.
Originally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Originally, but so more fun things.
We just didn't know.
Oh, dude, is there uses for... Well, shit. Every illicit, illegal drug has in some way a, quote, medical equivalent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Anywho's.
Yeah. So chloroform used to be used for both asthma and bronchitis.
Well, you don't really have to worry about breathing when you're knocked out, I guess.
Right. And also as a general anesthetic. So,
hey, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. And, it was also used in mouthwash and ointments until 1976.
Yeah.
42 years ago.
Yeah.
42 years ago.
Oh, man. It would have been so much easier to kidnap you.
Here, have some mouthwash. Your breath stinks. Wait, what?
Does this smell like chloroform to you?
No.
Perfect.
No, it doesn't. It smells like Listerine.
Sure, sure, we'll go with that.
Right.
So now we can talk about Alice in Wonderland. So while we were learning about mercury poisoning, every time you look it up, it will reference Alice in Wonderland and Mad Hatter. Because in the Mad Hatter, the reason why he is so crazy is because obviously he played with mercury too much.
Oh, God.
What? Nice.
Excuse me.
That may or may not get cut out in the sound.
Whatever.
Part, but if not, that was a good. That was a good out, man.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Anheuser.
Malcolm Bush.
Adolphus Bush. Thank you.
So, okay, the author of Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll, or his real name was Charles Lutwidge Dodgson. Wow. Dodgson.
Let's say that with some authority.
Charles Lutwidge Dodgson. Dodgson. Lutwidge. That one, it just fucked me up. Dodgson. Okay, he was the one.
So if you really wanted to do the proper, it is probably Charles Lutwidge.
Yes, yes, probably.
Charles Lutwidge Dodgson.
Anyways, Lewis Carroll, this guy, yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote Alice in Wonderland after a girl named Alice Liddell, who was a little girl that he loved.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the story goes that Charles met Alice and her two sisters while they were playing in a garden at the Liddell home in 1850s. Excuse me, in the 1850s. He was more than just an author. He was also a mathematician and a photographer. So he offered to take pictures of the kids. Alice was one of his favorites. She could be found posing as a beggar's girl, which often brings up speculation that Charles may have loved her just a pinch too much.
Just a pinch. So, there are many journals or entries missing throughout the time Charles knew Alice, who was 11 when they met. In some of the journals, In some of the journals that were found, he often talked about being plagued by impure thoughts of a sinful heart, but math helped him fight these terrible thoughts he was having.
Okay.
Further look into journals talks about how he found the body of a 12-year-old girl to be the ideal image of beauty.
Okay.
And he was also known to have written a letter to a 10-year-old girl after she sent him a lock of her hair, and he sent back to her stating how he had been hugging it and kissing it and longed to do that with her, to embrace her. So,
okay.
You know, there's that.
Well, he rarely had adult friends and wasn't a huge fan of boys. Plus, out of the remaining photographs recovered, almost all of his photographs were of girls between 10 and 15, and they were nude. Alice always had been a prominent piece. However, when asked about Alice in Wonderland or Through the Looking Glass, Charles stated that Alice was no particular girl at all, but a collection of people he had met. Suspicions were raised when there was a break between Charles and the Liddell family. Many speculate that Charles may have proposed to the 11-year-old girl, and even for this time, that's a pinch too much.
It was a little much.
Yep. For whatever reason, they stopped talking for a time, and when they picked up their friendship, the children were rarely around.
Right. So you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the final pictures of Alice is when she was 18 and she looks just pissed. She's fully dressed with her hands in her lap. Wow, in her lap? With her hands in her lap and a blank expression on her face. When she got older, she also would state several times how she didn't want to be Alice and people needed to leave her alone about it. It's just like, please, just off is in the direction in which you should fuck.
Right.
And so she didn't enjoy that fame at all. Later, way later, in 1933, there is an essay put out by A.M.E. Goldschmidt to Oxford University claiming it was a clear indication that Charles had sexual feelings for Alice in the story. And when Alice falls down the rabbit hole, he related it to falling in love. So while Goldschmidt wasn't a psychologist, many have agreed with his statement. And so maybe that could explain why Alice didn't like the book related to her as much. Who knows? Because if he was kind of pervert,
right,
she may not have liked him.
Sure. Well, Alice would grow up and fall in love with Prince Leopold, but since she wasn't royalty, they could never marry. They both moved on and married others, Leopold naming his daughter Alice and Alice naming her second son Leopold. Another name to note is another son of hers was named Carol.
Carol, like Lewis Carol.
Hmm. So oh, yeah. Some doubts to toss in about the naked children in this time period was the Victorian era was known to photograph or sculpt naked kids all of the time. Wasn't uncommon to see them in front of Christmas or on the front of Christmas cards or just about anything.
Right.
In this time period, children were viewed as a symbol of chastity and purity. Still are.
Yeah.
But
you don't have to show them naked.
Right. Right. No, it's right. Fine. And an adult was always present during the time of photography, and he stated how he loved children, but he didn't love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the yeah, but no buts. Could go on forever, but we're going to be covering Charles on his own episode with Thomas P. Boston Corbett soon.
Right. I mean, it just seems fitting.
It does.
If we're going to talk about Mad Hatter, we'll talk about the Mad Hatter, and we can also talk about an author who was equally interesting.
Right. So, as wrong as this is for me to say, and now knowing this, makes me really feel like a fucking dirtbag because I had no idea really what I was saying when I was younger and used to say that it was phallus in Wonderland.
Ooh. Well, you know.
Fucking weirdo.
Kids will be kids. And you were probably not the first one to say it. And you know what? I will say it. I was never a huge fan of Alice in Wonderland. I don't mind it, but it's not.
Right.
I don't jump to watch it.
It's not your cat's pajamas?
Yes.
Not even the Cheshire cat's pajamas?
Yes. He's all right. And I like the worm.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? The caterpillar? I don't know. The thing that smokes.
Right.
Smokes out the alphabet. Yeah, he's cool. I'd hang out with him. Oh my god. Dude.
Sorry for that intermission.
Fuck around. All right. So now we're going to talk a little, just pinch on wax museums.
Okay.
Because I've always found them interesting. And growing up in Oregon, there was a spot where you could go to Ripley's, believe it or not, a wax museum and like this little gift shop that you could walk down and you would be underneath the water and you could see all the sea lions and stuff because they would all be chilling. And all the seals and stuff.
Sure.
And they would come and swim around and you'd see all the crab and just whatever. It was pretty cool. But wax museums freak me out. I don't like wax museums. I don't like dolls. I don't... No. No, thank you. Not a big fan.
Thank you.
Not a big fan. So, but they equally... I don't like them, but I'm equally curious about them.
Sure.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Sure.
So they actually date back to the early 18th century and derive from funeral practices of the European royal families. In the Middle Ages, it was usually common to carry the corpse fully dressed on top of the coffins through the town.
Huh.
Gross. Sorry. But no, thanks.
Right.
And wax started to be used in order to preserve the bodies a little longer, so you could keep grandma out a few more days if you wanted.
Okay.
I just hope, but I know that there were a lot of times we were not very smart, and I would hope that they would have taken out the insides.
Who knows?
Oh man, bloating and decomp. Okay. Some of the earliest wax figures date back to 1317 with that of Edward III of England.
Proper.
Yes, that is crazy cool.
Proper.
Mm-hmm.
So by 19, Jesus.
19.
By 1680, people would no longer place the dead on top of the coffins, but they would still put them on display. Mm-hmm. Over time, they realized that they could take this practice of showing off the dead on the road.
Cool.
Right. So they made and kept wax figures and toured around, showing the world important people of our history. Soon other people started creating wax figures and death masks as well. So this name there's been debate on, is it Madame Tussauds, Madame
Tussauds. Yeah.
Ember has it in parentheses, two swads.
Two swads.
You have one swad, I have one swad. That makes us both have,
we have two swads.
Two swads together.
Oh, no.
And it's probably the most popular and most well-known of all of the wax museums. But,
yeah. Yeah.
There's also been a horrible, shitty fucking movie, House of Wax.
Oh, I hated that movie. Oh, fuck that movie. Oh, I never wanted Paris Hilton to die so bad.
Whoa, hey, easy.
What? I didn't say it. Just kidding. She's a lovely person. I'm sure. Somewhere. But the moment, the part that messed me up was when the guy comes up from the floor and takes those big scissors and cuts that guy's Achilles heel.
Kersnip.
No.
Yeah.
No, I hated that movie for that scene. The rest of it didn't care about. I don't care. Put people, dip people in wax and make them be figurines while they're still alive. Whatever. Leave their Achilles alone, please.
Right. Well, speaking of death and wax and all that fun shit, many death masks could be found at her museum, mm-hmm. including Marie Antoinette and King Louis XVI,
mm-hmm.
after they were beheaded. They were also her... Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Having a hard time.
It's okay.
They were also her former employers.
Yeah. So that's how, like, she has her own story. She grew up learning how to be, you know, like, doing this kind of stuff. And she worked for them. And then after they were beheaded, she had to do the death masks for them.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay. Well, so death masks are not anything really new, but two swads.
Two swads. Two swads
was the one to commercialize it.
Yes, very much so. And so the part that was curious to me is, how do you make one? So apparently it is not an easy task. I looked into it and you know what? Fuck that.
Yeah.
So it takes over 200 measurements to make one figure. And they all have to be made 2% larger due to the shrink factor the wax will make.
Oh.
Yes. So making one requires either you have to mix together or find the exact skin tone and all the different shades that everybody's skin can come in.
Right.
Fuck that. You have to do the same thing for the hair, the eye color, head, all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things. And it takes well over 300 hours to make. And the wax has to sit in a cast for almost 2 hours. Just for the head. And the hair, they put on one strand at a time. So it can take easy 6 weeks to complete.
Jesus.
One. And that's Jesus. Just to complete putting the hair in. And now, of course, they will make the bodies out of something different. Because if they made the whole thing out of wax, it would get heavy and it would sag.
Right.
Yeah. So I just found that is odd. That it takes so much time and so much energy to make one wax figure. So if you ever go to a wax museum, don't be the dick that tries to like break them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody put a lot of time into that.
A lot
more time than I would ever think about doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some odd coincidences.
Yes.
The husband and wife who died on the same day, but in different battles.
Yes.
They were an Irish couple in early 1916 when World War I was starting. A man named John Naylor joined the military and left behind his wife, Marguerite. Marguerite, not exactly sure.
Potato, potato.
Right.
Sure, she was a lovely woman.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And their three kids, all under the age of 6. He was shipped off to France, and while he was battling there, Ireland had its own issues going on. It was the same year they fought for their independence. On April 16th, 1916, Marguerite, whichever,
mm-hmm.
left her home to get bread for her children. Unfortunately, she became the first woman to die during the Easter Week Rising while crossing crossing the Ringsend drawbridge.
Mm-hmm.
She had been shot once in the head.
Just poof.
Yep.
Whoops.
Done.
Happens.
Yep. That same day, while in a trench in France, John and his fellow men were gassed and died a horribly painful death. Neither of them knew the fate of the other, and sadly, they left behind their three kids.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
Same day.
Same day.
Damn.
Yeah. Speaking of odd coincidences, tell about that the thing that we watched earlier. Britain's Got Talent with the magic trick? Yeah, that was cool.
So
not a coincidence, but just another odd thing.
Right. Oh, you guys want to see something really odd? I'm not going to slander this. I'm not going to ruin this. This is what I will tell you. Look up Britain's Got Talent Golden Buzzer, and the dude's name is Mark, and his last name starts with an S, if I remember correct. He's a magician.
Yes, he does the coolest magic trick.
Wow.
Ever. Well, ever?
Hold, please.
Ever, ever.
Yeah, hold, please. Please hold. Hold, please.
Are you looking for names?
No, but yep. Mark Spellman.
Spellman.
Mark Spellman gets the first Golden Buzzer of 2018 Auditions Week 1 Britain's Got Talent.
We'll put that link in the show notes if anybody wants to watch that.
Right. I will say this. Check your feels at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
There are some feels involved with it, but it is absolutely worth the watch.
And I'll be curious to see what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll also put that in with our What's Your Perspective thread over on the Fab Lounge later. Okay, so the first known murder, kind of, maybe, possibly. Archaeologists in 1984 found evidence of the first known murder that had happened over 430,000 years ago.
Oh.
Yes. They were in northern Spain, right in the Atapuerca Mountains. Oh, I feel like an asshole. I should have read that. I should have listened and created my two swads.
Two swads?
Two swads. Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with Atapuerca.
Atapuerca? Okay. They were in northern Spain, right in the Atapuerca Mountains.
In the where?
Uh-huh. Atapuerca.
What?
Atapuerca. Where they found the Cima de los Huesos?
Sure.
Oh, fuck. I should not be doing this one. I can't. You should do this one.
Nope. You got it. Get after it, dear.
God damn it. I'm so offensive. I'm sorry. Also
known
I suck.
It's also known as a pit of bones.
Right, right. I'm just going to admit, I suck at Spanish. Yeah, it is what it is. I took 3 years.
Cima de los Huesos?
Sure. If you say it fast enough, I'm sure it will sound just fine.
Yeah.
You are better at it than I am. You know more than I do. Okay. Anyways.
No.
In the pit of bones.
In the pit of bones.
Yes. They found a skull. They later labeled it Cranium 17, which to me sounds boring. He needs a cool name. Okay. Or she. Of a younger Neanderthal. The age and sex is still unknown, because we don't have that kind of technical advances yet. Mm-hmm. And it had two blows to the head just above the left eyebrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, scientific analysis consisting of a CT scan and making a 3D model showed that the blows of the head were made by the same instrument but at different angles. Mm-hmm. This helped decide if the death was accident or murder. With this information, Cranium 17 represented the first case of murder found in human history.
Right, at least that we have proof of.
Uh-huh.
After Cranium 17 was killed, the remains were tossed down a vertical shaft measuring about 43 feet or 13 meters down a cave complex, which is also the only way to get in and out of this cave. Okay. Go straight down.
Okay.
The skull was found on a pile of over 6,000 bones, equaling out to what they believe to be about 28 Neanderthals. And the skull had been broken into 52 pieces that archaeologists had to put back together. It's a lot of time. Right. Appreciate you guys doing that. Not me. It is unknown exactly how the bones got there, but many have theories. And if we are to believe these theories, it would also bring up another first for our history. Many people assume the bones were put there on purpose, which would also kind of show the first proven case of when people started to collect the dead or bury them. History previously stated this started happening 100,000 years ago. And that's not to say that it didn't happen before then, just the case of Cranium 17 proves it happened way before what they had.
Sure.
Other remains in the shaft showed that they died from natural causes, birth defects. They, you know, still, I think, are probably looking through them.
Oh, sure, sure. The bodies found in the pit of bones, including Cranium 17, show that they weren't modern humans, nor were they the common known Neanderthals, but possibly an early human ancestor that gave rise to the Neanderthals. According to an article published by the LA Times back in May of 2015, lead author Naomi Sala of the university in Madrid is sifting through the other bones to see if there is any more evidence of murder. No updates have been made since.
That's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not hard to believe that I guarantee since the start of man that we haven't murdered each other.
Oh, no, there's no question.
But it is cool that they're able to find evidence of it. It's always cool. All right. So, that's supposed to be Hitler's no-no square and his favorite Disney movie. That's what we're talking about next.
Oh, so it's supposed to be Hitler's no-no square.
Not again, square.
Yeah, my lovely bride. Hitler's no-any square and his favorite Disney movie.
Uh-huh. So, Hitler was a very interesting individual from...
You think?
How he got his sweet ass mustache, which in some circles they say that it happened because of a gas mask mishap in the First World War that almost killed him because he couldn't get the seal.
Yeah, he couldn't get it to seal proper.
Mm-hmm. Because he had a big old gnarly mustache, so he had to cut it down to his chaplain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that way he wouldn't die.
Yeah.
So I mean, the mask tried. First World War, it tried. It was going to take him out.
Yeah.
The mustache would have been his downfall. All right. That is interesting, but apparently he also only had one ball. And there was even
and it wasn't a basketball. Right. It wasn't a soccer ball. It wasn't a football.
It was a testicle.
That's the weirdest kind of ball ever.
It's the weirdest kind of ball ever.
Hey.
What?
You know what the cheapest cut of meat is?
What?
Deer balls.
Deer balls?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. And why is that?
Because they're under a buck.
makes me so happy. So there was this little song that was made about him in school, apparently. And it says, Hitler has only got one ball, and the other is in Albert Hall. His mother, the dirty bitch, cut it off when he was small. Hitler has one ball. Goring has two, but very small. Himmler has something similar, but poor old Goebbels has no balls at all.
Oh.
Kids are dicks.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well.
Well.
Well. Another piece of important information about Hitler. He had something called penile hypospadia. What?
Uh-huh.
Hypospadias?
Sure.
Sure.
My laptop died, so...
Which is a congenital disorder in which the urethra does not come out through the head of the peen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be right under the head of the peen, mid-shaft, or in worst case, right at the base. Right above the old beans.
Right above the beans, right below the frank.
Right. However, both the twig and berry issue... She has berries.
He did only have one.
However, both the twig and berry issue with Hitler can't be proven one way or the other. With his testicles, his childhood doctor said that they were just fine, and then a later report by a doctor said his right liked to hide in his body.
He liked to play hide and seek.
Okay. The penile issue would have been incredibly hard to see unless someone watched Hitler pee or ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
However, we can all agree that it wouldn't be too shocking if this was true. Maybe that would explain a pinch of his rage.
Dude, if if you only had one ball and you had a pee at the top of your nut sack, I could understand some things. I'm just saying. Okay. Hitler also had a love-hate relationship with the Disney movie we all know very well. He loved Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and it was illegal to get in Germany due to the fact that it was an American production, and everybody was pitchy and pissy at the time, so anything that was American was very anti-German, and so not allowed. Big no-no.
Right.
However, it was better than any animation Hitler had ever seen before. So he became a pirate and got a copy.
The shit out of it.
Yeah. You know? He got an illegal copy of the movie and he loved it. It was his dirty little secret. And he also painted watercolors based on the movie. And part of the reason why he loved it is because it also pissed him off that it was so great. So his love for the movie was also known in his little circle. And when Joseph Mengele found himself Seven Dwarfs during the Holocaust, he was delighted to have them put on a show for Hitler. And more on the horrors of Mengele and not only what he did to the Seven Dwarfs, but also just medical experiments in general that happened in Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
And he will definitely, Nazi stuff will have its own parts 1 to 1,000,000, right. I'm sure, throughout this podcast.
Right.
And he was definitely a fucking horrible person.
Yeah, he's a gut pile sack of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another odd one. This is labeled Fate. The Titanic is probably the most known historical event in 1912, when it hit an iceberg, sank, and many died due to the fact that it was not properly equipped because it was unsinkable. So they only had like a third of the life rafts.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Cool.
Well, in 1898, an author by the name of Morgan Robertson wrote a book called Futility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which tells a story that.
Futility?
Huh?
Futility?
Futility? Futility? It's.
Fuck it.
Utility with an F at the front of it. Futility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which tells a story that follows the Titanic almost to a T. Another weird piece to also bring forward is that 26 years before the Titanic sank, there was a story called Sinking of Modern Liner. A story by British journalist W.T. Stead about a boat sailing from Liverpool to New York that sank and had a high death toll due to the fact there wasn't enough lifeboats. But wait, there's more. When the Titanic sank, one of the people listed as a life lost was W.T. Stead.
Damn.
You wrote your own death warrant and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah, you wrote your own funeral.
Yeah.
Your own story.
Yeah.
How fucking weird is that?
Right.
We're coming to the end of our episode for this evening, and we're going to talk about blowing smoke up your ass. You've heard this saying before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure many times.
Do not blow smoke up my ass.
Yes. Meaning, like, don't
feed me a line of shit.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Like, don't sugarcoat it. Just let's have it.
Yeah, don't be fake about it. It wasn't just a saying, apparently, but it was an actual medical procedure.
The best part of this is it has your name in it.
I know. So these, okay, back to doctors and being, you know, whatever. They were trying. This was used to revive people who they thought were to be dead, usually by drowning.
Mm.
Apparently, this is going to help you. So somebody, somewhere, they were using tobacco at the time for many medical things.
Sure.
But somebody had to think this. They looked at an ass and said, you know how I could save them? Let's blow some embers in their asshole. And here's a great little rhyme by Dr. Holston in 1774 to help remind people how to save a life. Gwen, will you please read this?
Tobacco glister, breathe and bleed. Keep warm and rub until you succeed. And spare no pains for what you do may one day be repaid to you.
Breathe and bleed. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty intense
rhyme. Yeah.
To help you remind.
So to give a slight breakdown on that, the very first two, tobacco glister.
Mm-hmm.
Glister is also known as enema.
Yeah.
So let's read it in that term. Tobacco enema. Breathe and bleed.
Breathe and bleed. What? No, that sounds terrible.
Uh-huh. Keep warm and rub it until you succeed.
That's wait, what? Wait, what?
And spare no pains for what you do may one day be repaid to you.
Yep.
I don't need anybody blowing up or blowing smoke up my ass, figuratively or literally.
Right. Literally do not blow smoke up my ass.
Dude, you blow smoke up my ass literally, I'm pushing. Like, pushing. I'll blow an O-ring and I'm going to spray you. I don't even care.
So the first time it was practiced was in 1746 when a husband found his wife who was unconscious because she had supposedly drowned. So he took his tobacco-filled pipe and inserted the stem into her rectum and blew smoke. The hot embers hitting the inside of her colon jolted her awake. And he's like, Turter, I saved your life. Yeah. And thus a practice was born.
Okay. Well, tobacco enemas was an actual real thing. And they were created by Nicholas Culpepper, who had put tobacco into a suppository to help treat things like hernias. Oh, yeah. When I had my hernia, that's what I'd want to do is shove a cigarette in my ass. The smoke enema hit popularity thanks to an English physician, Richard Mead.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing smoke into someone's rectum was believed to increase the patient's heart rate. Well, fuck yeah, leave my butthole alone.
I'm just gonna say, anything goes into my ass, my heart's gonna be a little extra. It's gonna be a little excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gets your heart rate up, which is believed to help respiratory functions. It's also believed that smoke would... dry out the drowning victims. They didn't drown by swallowing water with their asshole, dummies.
I know that sometimes
if you jump off a too high of a ledge and you're not on full clinch when you hit water, you don't intentionally swallow with your balloon knot, but you'll take a little in.
Blowing smoke into somebody's asshole is not going to dry out their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
The colon isn't even in the same... Nope, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen.
Mm-mm. And it actually became a favored method over mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
People would try the smoke enemas first and only do mouth to mouth if the ass smoke failed to save the life. Oh God, that's a whole new meaning to ATM.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
So London doctors William Hawes and Thomas Cogan together formed the Institution for Affording Immediate Relief to Persons Apparently Dead from Drowning. That was the organization. Let's try that again. The Institution for Affording Immediate Relief to Persons Apparently Dead from Drowning. Mm-hmm. They did that in 1774.
Mm-hmm.
Later, thankfully, it was renamed to what is more commonly known as the Royal Humane Society, which is actually an organization that they still use today. And they use it for recognizing when somebody commits like an act of heroism and saves somebody's life. Sorry.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Several waterways actually stated, started to keep a... I can't even do this.
It's okay. We don't need to be serious right now. You can't be serious talking about this subject. You can tell clearly in my notes.
Several waterways actually started keeping a little ass kit in case of emergencies. It would have a bellows and flexible tubes. This allowed people not only to not be so close to a person's rectum, but still do butt stuff. And yeah, so any pipe would work.
It would. You could use, people preferred using the tube and stuff so you don't have to get right all up in there. But yeah, it didn't matter. Didn't matter.
Well, one of the issues they found is when someone would inhale versus blow and... Oh my God. One of the issues they found is when someone would inhale versus blow, they should get, quoting Ember here, rectal cavity stuff in their mouth. That's poop, dude.
That's poop, dude.
Yeah, well, cholera was common. Which is a bacterial disease that causes vomiting and diarrhea and is often fatal. Well, if I tongue darted a dirty four-day-old balloon knot, I'd probably puke and end up with the shits as well and hope that I died.
But if you think about it, baths weren't a thing back then. They were all dirty all the time.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, a four-day-old asshole's a clean one.
That's why it was probably only used for people that were drowning, because
they were quote unquote washed.
Yeah, they got a little wet first.
Ugh. That's just a soggy funk then.
Soggy funk.
But
that sounds like a great band name, the Soggy Funk.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Another fun note is people were doing these procedures often on people who were already dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be until 1811 when doctors discovered tobacco was toxic.
Yeah, like after they've been using it for forever.
Yeah.
Whoopsie. Yeah. Whoopsie. It's kind of like that heroin situation. But yeah.
Yeah.
I just imagine thinking of a drowned victim and you're in that moment and your first thing is like, gosh, shove this stem, this pipe tobacco in this person's asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And blow backwards. Mm-hmm. What?
It'll help dry him out.
Who thought of that?
A pervert.
Total pervert.
Now, I will say this. I'm not afraid of butt stuff.
Right.
I mean, whatever.
Right.
But I'm not going to share a smoke with someone that's shoving their pipe in their balloon knot. That, no.
No.
No. No. No.
And
no.
The tobacco leaves, like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know when you're a fire pops blowing, and it hits you wrong and you're like, ah, fuck it, no.
Yeah, blow that into your precious pink parts.
Yeah, your precious, your delicate pink tissues. Uh-uh. No, that's just rude. That's uh-uh. Just offensive. No wonder you're going to jolt a drowned victim alive.
Yeah, no.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to dry you out. I've never inhaled through my butt. I've exhaled often. I've never inhaled.
My asshole has never clutched its own pearls.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, these are all those random things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This episode is definitely, you can tell, just very chill, very laid back today.
Pretty laid back, pretty mellow. Life is good. Yeah.
Time for bed.
It is time for bed.
All right. Well,
ladies and germs, thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening. We hope you giggled a few times and we will see you next week.
Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.